On the Bechdelcast, the questions asked if movies have women in them. Are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdelcast.
Interior podcast studio. Afternoon. Caitlin and Jamie wait quietly as they get the go-ahead from Aristotle to start. Hey, welcome to the Bechdelcast.
Hi. I thought you were going to keep going and that I was going to start breathing heavy. But then you stopped.
Yeah, I started breathing heavy. I kind of bailed on it.
Don't bail on the bit.
Well, like me saying, hey, welcome to the Bechdelcast was like Caitlin's dialogue. So then I was just reading dialogue. And then you came in with your dialogue.
Mine was an action line more. It was like Jamie begins to breathe heavily.
True. Anyway, I'm Caitlin.
I'm Jamie.
This is the Bechdelcast.
Yeah, it is.
It's a podcast about the portrayal of women in movies. We're here today and we're talking about another movie.
Man, we've got to like kick up the energy. We've got to turn it up to 11 right now. Maybe I should have gotten my mics hard.
I'm gonna crank it up.
Crank it up. I have a song in my Spotify called Crank It Up. It's a theme to my favorite wrestler.
Who's your favorite wrestler?
Big Show.
Who?
Big Show.
Big Show?
Big Show. He's big and he's at the show. He's very big. He's maybe 7 feet tall. He's a giant.
Can we change the subject?
He's a big show.
Should we introduce our guest?
Yes.
Cool.
She's the best. She's a comedian. She's a writer for GQ. It's Sophia Benoit.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We're good.
You have brought us a movie that we're going to be talking about. I almost called it The Princess Bride. That's not it at all. What is it? Runaway Bride.
Runaway Bride.
Yeah.
Tell us about why you picked this, what it means to you, your history with this movie.
So I started talking to Jamie about movies that I loved, and all of my movies are like very romantic comedies from the 90s. Like that's the theme of that list. Occasionally seeping into like early 2000s rom-coms.
Sure.
A lot are aimed at teens. So after looking at that list, I talked with Jamie and I thought this movie is probably one of the earliest movies I ever saw that was made for adults.
I'm going to apologize in advance then and say that I'm sorry for how much I hate this movie.
Oh, that's no.
Fine. It's okay. I'm not mad yet.
Yeah.
Just wait.
I love a good shouting match, though.
I don't think it'll get to that, but who knows? It's the Bechdelcast. Anything can happen.
Do you think we'll ever get into a fight? Not like a yelling, like a fist fight?
I don't imagine.
I want to get
in. Fight.
I've always
You're
going to
flip a table.
You have a favorite wrestler, so I would not fight you.
It's true. I want to enlist. Yeah. Big Show's about to retire.
God, we're talking about this again.
Oh, my God. Okay, fine. Let's talk about. Oh, can I actually? I wanted to see if we were clear to discuss a topic that I would love to talk about.
Yeah.
But I don't know if everyone's down. Richard Gere's butt dribble.
I'm so down. I'm here.
Okay. Are you aware of the lore associated with Richard Gere and the dribble within his ass?
It sounds vaguely familiar, but I don't really remember.
It's great. I have the Snopes tab open right now in regards to Richard Gere and the dribble. It reads, a hoary urban legend reports a celebrity was taken to a hospital emergency room to have a dribble removed from his rectum.
And said celebrity was... Richard Gere.
Snopes says it's false, but I want to keep that hope alive.
It wasn't just that. Apparently, there's like a sexual thing where you put a gerbil inside.
I've seen that episode of South Park.
Okay,
yeah.
You've seen that. But that's from the rumor of him shoving a gerbil in a tube up his ass. Which is like, they have to be able to mechanically do that by now. Like, you can get a tube that has something moving inside of it by
you would think it, like you mean it doesn't have to be a live
right.
animal
you
it
do
can
not
just
have
be like
to do
a
that
little
to a gerbil
animatronic
as a mother of a hamster I can't endorse putting a gerbil in your ass.
Hey, let's talk about the movie.
Okay,
you grew up with it, you like it a lot.
I'm not like I think there's a huge difference between your favorite movie and the best movie. Like, I definitely don't think this is a good movie, and I would not. This is, like, on the edge of what I'd make my boyfriend watch. Like, if we had just fought, or, like, he had done something kind of shitty, I would definitely make him watch it.
Like, as punishment?
Yeah. That's like, it's not punishment. Like, it's not like Cinderella Story, where that's, like, if he, like, slept with somebody in front of my face, and I was like, we're watching Cinderella Story tonight. It's my turn to pick a movie. But it's definitely, like, he said something shitty about, like, my sister or something like that. And I'm like, oh, no, no. We're watching a Julia Roberts movie. That's how I feel about this film.
That's like, good. That's good training.
It is. No, he knows how to behave.
Yeah. Don't pee on the rug or I'll make you watch a Julia Roberts movie.
There's a joke in the movie about peeing on the rug.
That's, is there? Is that where
there is?
There's a joke in the movie.
Which?
His ex-wife has a new husband, and he's laughing right on the rug, and she's like, if you pee on my rug.
That's the guy who's the limo driver in The Princess Diaries.
Hector Elizondo. Yeah, he's in all of Gary Marshall's movies.
Oh, weird. Okay.
They're like friends. He's also like in Pretty Woman, which also are stars, Julia Roberts and Richard Gere. If you're willing to call them stars,
yeah.
which I am, our stars are also in that film together.
Interesting. Does anyone know, is this the first time they reunite since Pretty Woman?
Or I think it's a sequel to Pretty Woman, really.
Yeah. I haven't seen Pretty Woman in a long time, but so much of this movie, I had fun watching it. It was very confusing, particularly towards the end. Like, the sequence of events is just baffling.
As a kid, there were things that weren't fucked up about it that are now, I'm like, that's really, really fucked up.
Yeah. Wait, Caitlin, do you want to summarize it?
Sure. Well, let me start by... So, Jamie, you hadn't seen this movie before, right?
I had not, no.
Neither had I. So we both watched it recently.
Yeah.
So, the story is ludicrous.
It's fun.
All right. Richard Gere is a columnist at USA Today, and...
What a funny job.
He's like always trying to find his next story. He's like, what do I write about? And he meets this guy in a bar. The guy's like, there's this lady. She runs away from weddings. Write a story about her. He's like, great idea. I'll do it.
And in this world, everyone reads the columns in USA Today.
And yeah. And the columnists are famous. You can recognize them on the street.
Right.
Like, they're an A-list celebrity.
Hey, what's your next story for USA Today?
So he writes this story about this woman who he doesn't know, and he ends up getting some facts wrong. So the woman reads it, a.k.a. Julia Roberts, and she's like, you got to fact check, sir. So she writes a letter to the editor, gets him fired because he
by his
said
ex-wife.
It was, yeah, by his ex-wife, because he said she ran away from 7 or 8 weddings, but it was only 3. So, you know, this very high-stakes story that he messed up a little bit gets him fired.
That's a big mistake.
What year was this movie at? Do you remember?
I think 99.
Yeah.
Okay. So we were just coming off a Clinton presidency, and I feel like the world, this was news, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, things were good back then.
Yeah.
So you have to remember that, like, what the standard of what's a news story is different.
That makes sense.
And also, I do believe that that is a story that would appear
in the Huffington Post.
Yeah. I don't know. I believe that this story would be of interest. I don't believe that Richard Gere could make a living as a USA Today weekly columnist. That got me a little stuck. But maybe I don't know what the going rate was in 99. Who knows?
Right. It's not so much that, it's like, it's a human interest story that might be interesting to some people. The fact that he gets fired over, like, getting a few facts wrong. And again, what's a very low stakes story? Like, if he was like,
but like a story about North Korea's nukes or something.
Yeah,
right. Like, if he wrote Kim Jong Il ran away from 7 or 8 weddings when Kim Jong Il had actually only run away from 3 weddings, that would be a fireable offense.
I agree.
Right.
Anyway, so he decides to go to this small town in Maryland where this woman lives to get the story straight once and for all. So
he
goes and he meets her, and she's like, you're a bad man. And he's like, oh, I'm here to... Basically, he wants to see her run away from another wedding because she's about to get married again.
To Bob.
To Christopher Maloney.
Bob. Oh, poor Bob.
Bob.
Bob doesn't get... Bob gets kicked around in this movie. He's a good guy.
He seems to recover pretty well from it.
Which is also an insane plot point that he's still, 2 days after he's dumped, he's like,
Here, I'll have a little, boutonniere.
The wedding that should have been his wedding, which is the weirdest part of this movie by
far.
Why
would you go? Why would you go? He, first of all, that is a testament to Bob's resilience. He bounces back immediately.
He's like an Everest.
Yeah, he's like an emotionless coach, you know? He doesn't have time to put his feelings on the field, even when it comes to Julia Roberts.
That's true. That's true.
You really have to think about the fact that he's willing to give it his all.
There's this weird line of dialogue when he's at the wedding. I'm sorry. I, like, just took us to the end of the movie.
No, I mean, what happens in the middle? Almost nothing. They hate each other. Then they start to like each other very abruptly, might I add.
But the specifics are like, very abruptly. But
he buys her a wedding dress, though. Let's put that out there. If a guy buys you a wedding dress, that's a pretty serious step.
That's true.
Woo me, daddy.
I would love someone to just bring me a wedding dress.
Amen. If someone brought me a wedding dress, like,
I'd be like, all right, well, we've already, to quote Julia Roberts' character, we've already got a date and a venue.
All we're missing is a groom.
I got the dress. Yeah.
I guess we should get married. Basically, I do agree with you that basically nothing happens for about 45 minutes, except, like, Joan Cusack gets upset at one point, but then she's fine.
There's, like, a luau.
She's not even a character. It's just Joan Cusack is in the movie.
That's pretty much,
like, she's upset.
She's joning out hard in this movie. She's like
Peggy Fleming, not the ice skater.
Yeah, what a weird joke to make.
It's such a bad joke.
It's a terrible.
For, like, a romantic comedy, there's almost no trace of comedy in this movie. I found nothing funny about it.
Well, no, it's funny because her dad is an alcoholic. that is funny.
One funny line of the movie is when her dad is drunk and calls the dog Porthole. I think that's a classic joke. And I have considered getting a dog and naming it Porthole, and no one will know what I'm talking about. But to me, I'll be like, from Runaway Bride.
But then someday someone will know, and then we'll be married. Buy me a wedding dress.
Right.
Exactly.
And it'll probably be Richard Gere.
I love Richard Gere so much. He's one of my faves. Mm-hmm. I don't care what he's done with gerbils. But he's so annoying in this movie. His character is like, why? Well, okay. Questions about Richard Gere in this movie include, why do people not just ask him to leave? And why, and in particular, why is he allowed to stay with Julia Roberts' family?
No, he stays at a hotel.
No, he stays at a hotel because she breaks into the hotel. Also, her family loves everybody. Her family loves him. They trust him.
They love.
Except for the dog, Porthole, who barks at his colorful hair. Crazy, crazy bit.
Oh, that was a fun prank. What a fun prank.
Thing in this funny movie.
It's like in Big Fat Liar when they make Paul Giamatti blue. You ever seen that?
No.
Yes, it is like that.
It is like that. That's a good movie.
The one joke that I do like from this movie is the pun that is the hair salon name, which is curl up and dye, but dye spelled D-Y-E for hair dye.
I like that. And Peggy Fleming's husband,
Corey,
has a radio show called Wake Up with Flem.
Yeah,
that's another good
pun. There's a couple. Yeah.
That was exciting. A little thrill.
There's some small town charm in this movie. I felt so bad for Bob. Okay, so they're at, is it the wedding rehearsal? Richard Gere is allowed to be there because Julia Roberts is like, give me money for a nice dress and I'll let you tag along for the third act of this movie.
Yeah.
And then they're at Julia and Bob's rehearsal, and they're like, Richard Gere, you be the priest?
No, they make him be the groom, and then Bob is going to be the priest so that he can watch her walk down the aisle and not break eye contact with her, because they set up that, like, that's the only way she'll marry you is if you don't break eye contact.
That, and what a terrifying precedent. it is kind of funny how even Julia Roberts accepts, like, yeah, if you don't make eye contact with me, I might just leave. And there are times where she and Richard Gere are like, okay, this is a bit much. You guys are making fun of me too much. But, like, she still is like, yeah, I run away from a lot of weddings.
What's interesting, too, is that this was right around the time that she had left Kiefer Sutherland at the altar 2 days before their wedding in real life.
No way.
Yeah, she did that during the filming of the movie Hook, and she, like, ran away from the filming and, like, went to London, and Steven Spielberg had to, like, go get her because she was running away from her wedding from Kiefer Sutherland.
Whoa. God.
I had no idea.
That really brings a whole fun element to... I had no idea. Wow. Poor Kiefer.
I know. He said, like, quotes about it later that was like, I understand why. I'm like, I know you cry every night that you're not married to Julia Roberts.
God. Oh, man. But what a strong showing of manly strength. Okay, so how Richard Gere and Julia Roberts finally get together romantically mm-hmm. is that Richard Gere is standing in for Bob because Bob is practicing making eye contact like a good husband. And Richard Gere and Julia Roberts kiss for like 45 seconds. It's so long.
It's so uncomfortable.
And you don't see it coming. And everyone at the rehearsal is like, what is going on? Like, Bob starts to flip out, rightfully so. He's practicing eye contact. And he's, like, doing the right thing. Then, you know, Bob is like, we're breaking up, you know, goodbye. And then Julia Roberts and Richard Gere just shrug it off.
Yeah.
Don't go after Bob.
And then start planning their own wedding.
Right. I was like, this is the meanest, most fucked up, toxic thing I've ever seen in my life. I want to see what happens next.
Well, the reason that no one saw it coming that they're suddenly kissing is that it's a poorly written story beat. Like, there's no build up. There's no, like, it's just, to me, it was just like, all right, oh, they're kissing now at this wedding rehearsal.
It's very sudden.
And then they're like, all right, yeah, Bob's gone. Now I have a dress, I have the church, I have the date blocked off on my calendar. Why don't you and I get married, guy who I hated until 2 moments ago?
Have you guys not ever seen any other romantic comedies?
I mean,
this one, I love a good romantic comedy. I love all of them, particularly the J-Lo ones.
I love those.
But this one, the change was so abrupt that even in... As a rom-com lover, I was like, wait a sec, this is...
Yeah.
And also, Julia Roberts, way to make it clear immediately that you were not invested in marrying Bob even a little. Mm-hmm. Because the second he was like, I don't know, she's like, you're right, I'm going to marry this guy.
Yeah. I do think it's kind of reasonable because they're the two hottest people in that town, so you knew they were going to fuck.
That's true. That's
like,
true.
If you're the two hottest people, even if someone's about to get married to someone else, you're like, well...
Yeah, if someone hotter comes along, you're like, sorry.
Well, we don't know. We never got to see Bob in the suit.
That's true. If Bob...
Maybe he cleaned up
Bob
really
is like
nice.
A Ken doll. Like, even down to his whole anatomy. Like, probably. He's just mm-hmm. this non-sexual but very fit man.
He's got a sex lump. He doesn't have a penis.
I think that's true.
He's got a sex lump that gets really hot.
Yep.
But then it just kinda cools
down.
It kind of
glows.
Yeah, it glows.
That's how I imagine Bob and his sexuality.
But then if you give him a little kiss, it cools down.
Aw. Yeah.
Bob just wants
Bob.
A little kiss. Caitlin's triggered.
I'm so triggered. This movie's so profoundly stupid to me.
I thought it was fun and also just like another, there's just like a lot of real, like, bigger than usual rom-com hard lefts where at first it's like, it's funny because her dad's an alcoholic, but then very suddenly it's like, it's sad because her dad's an alcoholic. And then by the end it's like, it's kind of funny that her dad's an alcoholic.
To be fair, as someone who has a dad who's an alcoholic, mm-hmm. I feel like that's really the emotional journey. It's like, okay, oh, all right, well, it's kind of funny.
Well, that was a good joke.
All right, yeah. Thank you for providing a punchline for my childhood.
Right, exactly.
Can we talk about how this movie is 2 hours long?
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
rom-com should not be longer than like an hour 40 tops. This movie is... clocks in just under 2 hours, and it's
there is a long period
insane.
Where nothing really happens, but it's that's when they do all the rom-com goofs and pratfalls and laughs. Mm-hmm.
You really have to get all the information about that small town in there, like if it's right. Hail Maryland. If you can't get all of the shots of Hail Maryland in
there's
there.
A salon right. called Curl Up and Die,
and he's like playing with the barbershop quartet, and he meets like the baker woman,
yeah,
Betty Trout.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, Betty Trout.
I like Betty Trout. I kind of shipped her and Bob, but then she's married. But
well, there's that girl, that horny woman who chases after Bob.
Yeah.
And it's like, Bob, Oh. Maybe this is a bad time, but here's my phone number.
And then she's like, see, look, people are already excited for you. I'm like, dude, just got broken up with, like, left at the altar.
By you.
If that's...
Don't shout encouraging things at poor Bob.
Bob needs so much therapy.
He needs so much. Do you think he and Julia Roberts have ever had sex?
No.
Bob?
Does she even know he has a sex lump?
He springs himself upon her on the floor of their kitchen. I think that probably led to
I thought they were wrestling.
Because he's a sports
Are sex and wrestling not the same thing?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. We've found one of Caitlin's blind spots.
My sex name is Big Show.
Big Show. He's got a beard right now.
The woman who, I think it's the same character who, like, runs after him right after he's gotten broken up with. Mm-hmm. Is it her cousin who introduces herself in the movie as... I'm Maggie's unmarried cousin.
That's how I introduce myself to people.
Hi, I'm Caitlin,
I felt like she was making a joke, not a good one, but a joke about not being married because he's writing the column about getting married a bunch of times. It's not a clear or good joke,
right?
Admittedly, and it sounds just stupid.
But maybe she's just stupid.
Maybe she just wants to put it out into the universe.
He also is hot, so maybe they're trying to set up that, like, she's being like, I'm single, you know?
Could be,
I felt for... Well, I guess I didn't really feel for... Joan Cusack's role in this movie is fun because she was... I mean, I feel like she sort of gets better roles now, but she was like the Judy Greer of her time.
She's never had a starring role in a movie. Like, I literally...
Really?
My boyfriend and I have gone through her IMDb page looking
She's always, like, a supporting character.
She's never had a star... Like, she's huge. Everyone knows who she is.
Right.
And she's never had a movie where she stars
in School of Rock.
She's in everything.
I know.
She's in my dreams. I want her to be True Detective Season 3. It's just her.
Dude, that would be great. Oh, man. She's due for... What is the... Matthew McConaughey. Yes.
It's going to be a Joan-naissance.
I kept wanting to say Black Snake Moan, but that's not the movie that Matthew McConaughey was good in. What's the one where he's...
Dallas Buyers Club?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You confused Dallas Buyers Club for Black Snake Moan?
Three words, baby. Three word titles. But Joan's role... Joan is clearly caught in one of those weird hometown friendships that has run its course, but there's not anyone else to be friends with. And so she's letting Julia Roberts just wave her nips at Corey. and it ends up being like, and it becomes an issue to, and I'm like, oh, is this a B plot? Where is this going? Nowhere. Joan Cusack's just like...
I think it's interesting,
it's just
though.
What you're like. It's just what you're like. It's fine. I was like, man, Joan, stand up for yourself.
I wish they'd gone further, admittedly, but I think it's an interesting question of, like, a lot of people have friends that are really flirtatious, and it's, like, very uncomfortable where you're like, I don't really know what to do.
Right. And Joan is so nice, and she loves Julia Roberts so much. But that's, like, the attitude of everyone towards Julia Roberts in that hometown of, like, this is just... how she is. This is what she does.
She runs away, but we love her.
No one offers any advice or help.
Well, from a storytelling point of view, the fact that, like, opportunities for tension just aren't capitalized on very much. Like, she's like, do I flirt with your husband? And she's like, yeah, but it's okay. Like,
right.
there could be just, like, more conflict and tension from opportunities like this, but they don't milk it. And it just... It makes it for just not a very interesting story to me.
I mean, it's good that Joan and Corey are secure enough in their marriage that they don't need to make a thing of it.
Sure.
But also, I'd be like, Corey, maybe cool it a little bit. Cool it on Julia.
I mean, I think the point of that is, like, that everyone in the town is in love with her because she's, like, the only hot person.
Right.
I mean, like, that's, like, the guy, the desk guard lets her into the hotel room of Richard Gere's and, like...
Because she flashes those teeth.
He's like, here, commit a felony. Break and enter. That's fine. Can we talk about the eggs?
I was hoping that this came up. Thank God.
Motif.
Wait, what?
Her liking the eggs. Like, every time she's with a guy, she likes the kind of eggs that they like.
Right.
She doesn't know how to be your own person.
It's a metaphor. What's there to discuss?
It's beautiful.
It is.
I think about that all the time. Every time I'm eating eggs, I think about Julia Roberts. I'm like, do I even like these eggs? Or does a guy I want to fuck like these eggs?
Sloppily written.
It's crazy that Richard Gere says word for word three separate times, Oh, yeah? How'd she like her eggs?
How you like that eggs?
Shouted at men as they're leaving a room. Oh, yeah? You think you are? How'd she like her eggs?
I think I'm going to get that tattooed on my ass. How'd she like her eggs, quote, Ike Graham.
Turns out she likes Ike. Some eggs Benedict.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she tries all the kinds of eggs on her own when she's finally single. She finally learns how to
be
single.
That's
why
I love being single.
When you figure out,
I can eat any kinds of eggs I want.
When you figure out what kind of eggs you like, that's when you know you've fixed yourself.
Yeah. I'd be like, you know what? I like over easy.
I do think that the moral of the story, what they were going for, is a good moral of, like, you have to learn how to be alone and who you are and not with other people. That's like a good moral. That's not the moral of most rom-coms.
You've got to learn how to cook your own eggs.
Because most rom-coms are the opposite, where they're like, this independent woman who doesn't want a man. Instead, they, like, leaned into being like, okay, there are people that, like, give themselves up for whoever they're with.
But I feel like that would have hit a little more if she had not married Richard Gere.
Or if this had been a good movie.
Right. But, I mean, that's not why we're here.
Yeah. I'm just saying. Like, it's
a
like,
good lesson poorly executed because her character is like, who I can't even describe her. They're like, she's quirky, but is she? Not really. She's still kind of just...
Well, according to Joan Cusack, she's quirky, and that's different from weird.
Right, which is also different from
what's the other adjective thrown around in that scene?
I don't remember. Wait,
no, because Julia Roberts says, like, I'm weird, which, first of all, grow up. she's like, I'm weird. And then Joan Cusack's like, you're not weird, you're quirky. It's different.
Yeah, AKA, quirky and weird are two very different things.
Yeah, but with Joan uses another word to describe herself.
I don't remember what it is.
That
either.
Feels like she's selling herself short yet again.
Mm-hmm.
I agree that I wish Joan would have been the star of this movie, if that's what you're leaning towards.
Oh my God. I would love if Joan were the star of this movie.
But to loop back into the thing of, like, her not ending up with Richard Gere, her point when she was like, here's why I couldn't marry you, is because with the first three guys, they didn't know who I was. And then with this marriage, when I tried to marry you the first time, you knew who I was. And that scared me because I didn't know who I was. So I have to go find myself. And then she finds herself and she's like, I'm ready. So it's not like entirely.
Yeah, she sells her lamps and she knows who she is now. By the way, I love how they say in the early in the movie that her degree is in industrial design, which I think whoever wrote this movie thinks that that means that you take industrial looking things and design them into stuff.
That's hilarious.
Which is not what industrial design is, but that's funny. Way to go. Is it Gary Marshall who wrote this? No, it's...
He just directed it.
He directed it. Josanne McKibben and Sarah...
Women. Perrier.
Two women wrote this movie.
They let women write a movie.
Wow. Right?
Never again should that happen.
Can we... Oh, okay. One thing that I really do want to talk about is Julia and Richard's... I don't remember their characters' names. Maggie and Ike's first wedding where she does run away. That is a very fun... I did not think she was going to run away. Here's the thing. I thought that that was going to be the end of the movie. Turns out there were 20 more minutes.
Yeah.
Anyways, she does run away. And then there's an amazing extended product placement for FedEx.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. The FedEx
down
guy.
Down to, they say what the slogan for FedEx was at the time.
Oh, yeah, because he's like,
as a
wherever
tag
she's going,
she'll
it'll
be
there by 10:30 tomorrow morning.
Right. End scene.
Yeah.
But she, Julia Roberts runs away from Richard Gere after Richard Gere shouts when she starts to leave, lock the doors!
Which is, Stop her.
Stop her.
Keep her here against her will. That's what marriage is.
This ceremony can recover from what's happening right now.
This ceremony can recover from the bride not wanting to get married.
Right. Like, yeah, just about face. She went the wrong way. She's going to marry me. We know each other for 2 whole weeks.
What I do think is crazy is at the very, very end when they get married again, like for real this time, she did it. She goes through with it. She buys another fucking dress.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
And they're not on that kind of budget. She works at a hardware store. He's a USA Today columnist.
Not anymore. He got fired.
Yeah,
he didn't sell that story to GQ, I guess, as if GQ would want that story.
Sophia, what do you think? What do you think? Would GQ want that as a cover story?
I think they would. Why
really?
Not?
Yeah.
Why not?
I had such a hard time believing.
That's like if Daniel from the Vans, you know, damn Daniel, if he ran away from a wedding, I think we'd all want to know.
True. Damn Daniel's runaway wedding.
They didn't have internet celebrities back then. They just had, like, you know, newspaper celebrities.
Right. I feel like the last celebrity of the runaway bride kind was that astronaut who wore a diaper.
Agreed. Agreed.
Yeah.
And I love her. Actually, I
love her.
Talked about her with somebody the other day. She's really important.
We should
have her on the show. It's not my show, but we should have her.
we should bring her into the fold a little more because she, I mean, if we're going to talk, we usually say women in STEM at least once every podcast because we're allies and we love women in STEM.
Yeah, we can get specific.
Women in STEM rule, but also astronaut women in diapers rule.
She's the opposite runaway bride, really. She ran towards love.
She was, and there were no time for bathroom breaks in her journey. I respect that. I respect the fuck out of that.
I don't know if I'm that familiar with this story.
Oh, man.
Oh, we'll have to talk. It's going to be a long talk.
Okay. I'll look it up on my own.
The overview is like there were two astronauts at NASA, a woman and a man, and then he started dating somebody else and she got really mad about it. So she drove like something unreasonable, like 11 hours or something, wearing a diaper to go confront him and like attack the woman. And so she was charged with like.
Oh,
planning to murder someone, I think.
I assume that she was wearing a diaper in space, like diaper.
Oh,
No, she wore a diaper.
She was wearing a real
person
diaper.
So she was in a car, and she's like, I got to get there ASAP. No time to pull over for an arrest stop.
Right.
Got to piss and shit myself for
she
true
might
love.
Have had to shit. She might have, like, not eaten, you know, just, like... made sure she was fine.
Yeah, it was premeditated, so wait a minute, you know.
She might have been a really big planner. It seems like it.
I mean, you've got to be meticulous if you're an astronaut.
True.
Maybe she had the diapers already. Maybe she's like, never know when you're going to need this.
Maybe space diapers. She's maybe like, she I got some left over from road trips. Space.
Yeah, maybe that's her road trip thing. And
it's not a bad idea for a road trip.
And the failing press did not point that out.
Lamestream media.
Lamestream media. Why isn't there a movie about her?
That's the million-dollar question.
That's crazy. Okay,
I'll write it. I'll get the life rights, and then I'll...
make sure it passes the Bechdel test.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, my God.
Every line of dialogue will be passing the test. I do like that she proposes once she runs away from the wedding the first time.
I kind of liked that scene, yeah.
I don't necessarily like the scene, but I'm so sorry that I hate this movie so much. I don't like the scene, but I like... the woman being the one to propose.
They do that with Julia Roberts a lot, it seems like.
Because
also in Notting Hill, she is like very much the male like character. She's very unlikable in that movie, which I love. Like, she's not fun and like kind, and she's successful, and he's kind of a bumbling idiot. So they kind of did it a little bit with this movie, too, I feel like, where they're like, you be a man.
Right. And at the time, it was like, oh, what a novel and interesting thing to make our friend Julia do. I did like that the first time Richard Gere delivered that very clunky monologue about like the marriage of like when marriage and you and someday
one
love,
or both of us will want to get out of this
and yeah maybe leave but then stay and then she has to verbatim deliver that same clunky monologue back to him where she's like it's like you said. Maybe leave and then he's like, I will marry you. I like to see.
I like that we saw on screen a woman proposing to a man. I have a real problem with the traditional, like, yeah, you're together. You want to get married. Maybe you've talked about it. Who knows? But generally, if you're in a hetero relationship and you're the woman, you kind of just have to wait around to be asked to, and it just like takes out your agency, you know? So I like that she's like, you know what? I want this thing. I'm going to go out and ask for it and try to get it. So I like that part of it.
I did also like that they didn't make it a big deal. Like, it wasn't like later people kept being like, and she proposed as a woman,
like,
you know?
Yeah.
Like that movie Leap Year with Amy Adams.
Oh, yeah.
She proposes, but it's like a whole thing that she's allowed to propose because she's a woman on Leap Year Day or something. I'm like, you can do it any day.
Right. They're like, it's opposite day. So it's
fine. It's wacky.
Just in terms of woman characters, probably the woman in this movie who has it together more than anyone is Richard Gere's ex-wife.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think that was like an ex-wife character. They can very often be made to be shrewish, especially because she fired him and that could have been made to seem like a vendetta thing, but it wasn't. She was just doing her job.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this very weird scene where Richard Gere pretty much kisses her on the mouth in front of her new husband.
Right.
didn't love that. But for the most part, she seems to have it together. And she's like, I accept that our marriage is, you know, she's not pining after him. Mm-hmm. She's his boss. She fires him, but no hard feelings. And then she attends his, honestly, okay, if I were her, I would attend the Julia Roberts, Richard Gere wedding, because it seems like such a bad idea that, like, there's a little petty revenge in there.
I think they're friends, though, too. Like, yeah. I just remember the guy's name, Fisher. Fisher is her new husband.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love him. He's great. Hector, slay me.
Drive my limo any day.
Yeah, that's a euphemism. If you're listening, Hector, that is a euphemism.
Yeah, I refer to my vagina as a stretch limo.
But he, like, I liked their friendship. It seems like he's, like, a clueless idiot ex in a lot of ways that had no idea why they broke up and, like, all that.
Yeah.
And she was like, look, I've moved on with my life, but by the way, here's what you fucked up. And I loved that because that's, like, how I'd want to be as an ex is, like, we can be friends, we're fine, but here's, like, you're a mess and I'm great.
The ex-wife, whose name I really don't remember, but and her new husband, Fisher, they have a great relationship. Fisher's not jealous that Richard Gere is, you know, works with her or is around. I was like, man, this couple is very stable. I wouldn't want to see a movie about them because they're so stable.
They're in therapy. They literally talk about how it takes three people to make their marriage work. Me, Fisher, and our therapist.
Like, and it looks like it's working.
Yeah.
Her name is Ellie, by the way.
Ellie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I'm pro Ellie. I am pro Joan. I'm pro Julia. I'm pro everyone in this movie, except Richard Gere sometimes.
There's a lot of really good women in the movie, I think.
Yeah.
The grandma's adorable.
Oh, classic horny grandma.
Loved that.
Love it.
I wrote down some of my favorite lines from the movie, including...
It's funny when a grandma says penis. That's the core. I bet someone said that in a meeting, and they're like, you know what? That's true. History has proven it's funny when a grandma says penis.
Right. I like, well, they give her, like, the button in a bunch of different scenes as though what she has said is a funny laugh line to go out on, and it's usually not, but, I mean, good.
She's horny.
Good on her.
It's a fun joke.
One of my favorite lines from the movie is, she says, innocent girls are terrified of the one-eyed snake. When I was a virgin bride, I took a knitting needle to bed with me. What? What? Like,
she's,
as a weapon to shove up her pussy.
She's going
to
stab a dick.
Stab his dick.
And I love it. That's like,
a fun joke.
That's one of the better jokes of this movie. I love that she calls it a one-eyed snake. I love that she was a virgin and scared. And she was going to get militant. She was like, let's skip right to stabbing your dick.
There is nothing funnier than a scared virgin, first of all.
The only thing funnier is
interpreted
stabbing a dick.
As when she first said it, is she going to, like, try to, like, butter herself up with a knitting needle? Like, that's what I thought she was saying.
I liked horny grandma. I mean,
sure, it would be Betty White today if it were cast today. You know.
Betty White, yeah, the past 10 years, horny grandma characters.
Yeah.
And that grandma, may she rest in peace, probably.
Most likely rest in peace.
Probably made a ton of money on that and traveled the world and was a horny grandma there.
She probably sent her, like, two grandsons to college with the money she made from Runaway Bride.
Oh, that would be so nice. And then they're like, you know, that would be cool if you hooked up with a guy in college and he's like, you know why I can afford to go here? Because my grandma said penis.
That's amazing. I wonder when her grandsons went to college and I wonder if I fucked them. I can't wait to find out.
If that were the reason I could afford college, I would tell everyone.
That would be like my pre-hookup story. I'd be like, by the way, just so you know,
like,
the grandma
on
Runaway Bride is why I'm here.
I want to talk about wedding culture. First of all, the...
Hashtag wedding culture.
This movie, while it's like, you got to find out who you are first before you can, like, pair off with someone else. That's good. But it's still like, marriage is the end goal. You're not successful until you've married.
Yeah.
It's kind of also the message it's sending.
I feel like this movie, like, I don't know, 99, That's a tricky... I feel like that's, like, around the time where that mentality was, like, maybe dying but not dead yet.
Right.
Well, Sex and the City hadn't happened, so people didn't know it was an option to be Samantha. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Like, it wasn't cool to be a fun slut yet. Which
it wasn't.
And, like, thank God we can all be fun sluts now.
Oh, I love being a fun slut.
Yeah. No, because, like, back then the movies were, like, Parent Trap, and it was, like, let's wear beige and, like, be a mom, you know?
Yeah,
like, that was
the
roles for women were, like, a mom.
Yeah, and this movie doesn't deal with it in a great way for sure. But I don't know. It's weird that I feel like within a few years of this movie coming out, that mentality slowly started to dissipate. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it did have something to do with Sex and the City.
Well, because like right around this time is also just a little bit before was like You've Got Mail. And if you watch that movie, like it's a much better written romantic comedy. But the aim of the main character is not like sex or fun. It's like dating a nice guy. And that was like all romantic comedies in the 90s were like, I want to date a nice guy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now, and then right after it, it was like fun sluts, you know?
Right.
Which and is now, great. I'm just saying that's like very par for the course for 98, I feel yeah. like.
Even so, weddings still happen. Mm-hmm. And I just want to talk about how they're a huge money-making scam. Yeah, you heard it here first, guys. Wedding, if you have a wedding, you're throwing away your money. Because like, first of all, why are there so many different events for what should just be one event? Because you've got like your bridal shower, you've mm-hmm. got your bachelorette or your bachelor party, mm-hmm. you've got your rehearsal mm-hmm. and your rehearsal dinner, mm-hmm. and then you've got the wedding itself, and mm-hmm. then you've got the reception, mm-hmm. and then you're supposed to go on a honeymoon. And sure, you're like celebrating this great thing that's happening in your life, but it's just, it comes with. So, like, oh, you got to document it with a videographer and a photographer, and there's got to be flowers, and you got to buy a dress that's thousands of dollars, and you have to book out a venue that's thousands of dollars, and right. you got to stationery. And the, oh, it's
I find
just...
it hard to believe that all of that would make me happier than a $250 Target gift card.
Right. Absolutely.
Like, absolutely. There's no way that somebody would offer me either that or like a. Even like a $50 Target gift card, I'd be like, that sounds really thrilling.
That would be the better choice. I don't know. I really do enjoy weddings. I don't know.
I like going to them a lot. I love it when other people have them. But then I think about like, oh, you don't have $30,000 for a party. Like who, what life do you live? You'd have to live a very different life in my world to pay for.
Oh, yeah.
Also, like the idea of a wedding ring alone, just like paying for a rock that's. So much money. I'm like, do you know you can buy a car? You can buy a whole car.
I'm like,
car.
Let's get a functional tats. Thing.
Let's get back tats.
Full back tattoo for less.
Yeah it's exactly. Absurd. Let's it's get sleeves that match.
I could get like
someone will get your matching worm tattoo someday.
No.
You could literally just get like the whole script of Shrek tattooed on the back of your body.
Yeah. That would be a fun couple activity.
I love Shrek.
I love Shrek.
Why didn't we do Shrek? I would have loved to talk about
it. Wait, can we do that?
It's crazy that we haven't done a Shrek episode
what?
Yet.
I'm right? doing a Shrek podcast like, and I'll invite both of you guys on.
Yes.
I love Shrek so much.
And just keep watching Shrek over and over and over.
Yes.
I like weddings. I don't like getting too involved in weddings because when it comes to the point where I was a maid of honor last year and I had to fly across the country, like... three separate times to do like shower, bachelorette, and then wedding. And then I missed something or other and everyone was mad.
Yeah.
That I didn't love.
You're putting, not only are you putting a financial burden on yourself, you're often inflicting it on a bunch of other people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and usually the people closest to you that you love.
Yeah.
You're like, let me fuck these people
over. Sorry, you gotta buy this dress.
And I have to get you a juicer?
Yeah.
I would absolutely make my worst enemy my maid of honor. Like,
right.
There's no bigger fuck you than you need to take care of this party that I'm planning.
I am excited. Okay, I do want to have a wedding someday, and I have all these fun pranks planned.
Me too.
I want to put, like, a wild card in my bridal party. Like, someone that, like, I'm not particularly close to, but, like... just really just guilt her into being in my bridal party and being very close with everyone else and everyone being like, who's this person? And then I also have this plan for my whole life and it starts at my wedding because I forgot to do it at my college graduation, in every major event in my life, I want there to be someone dressed in a Scooby costume, like a mascot costume, mm-hmm. but be in like the background of the picture, you know, and then at the birth of my child, it'll be in the background of the picture. I'll have to have a guy.
Yeah, I can call a guy for hire.
I wanted to have a ring bear and have the person dress up in a full bear costume, but like
good.
An adult man, like not a cute little child costume.
No, it can't be cute. It has to be alarming. I want my wedding to be very alarming. I want everyone to feel like they had a bad dream.
I'm going to ask people that aren't my parents to walk me down the aisle, but, like, not even close to me. They're just, like, random people.
Don't even get me started on all the implications of that. Like,
I want to get stunt doubles for my parents. Yeah. I want them to do flips.
Like, the whole, like, father giving away his daughter to... It's like...
Well, I'm my daughter's property. Yeah, I mean, like, my father's property.
You're my property. Now, I bestow this property onto this other man who... And, oh, yeah, you got to change your name now. Because
I want my dad and the man I married to do, like, a Britney Madonna-style kiss and pass my spirit on.
I want my dad...
It's like, now you're the princess of pop.
I really want my dad to end up like Richard Gere in this film and to end up kissing the groom.
Yeah, and exactly.
And then not me. And that's how we find out my dad's...
I want to get cucked at my own wedding and watch my dad and my beloved... make out.
And maybe go further. In my wedding, at least. I'm fine if they go further.
A little tweaking?
Yeah, a little...
Tweak.
Do what you feel is
I would enjoy a wedding if that happened. I want to be clear. I understand, like, wanting to throw a celebration for this important day in your life. But even if you don't do it, guess what? You still can be married if you fill out all the paperwork. Anyway.
Or if you just hang out for 7 years.
Yeah, that too. Just live together for a while and then you'll be married. But I understand, like, wanting to, like, throw a party. But does it need to be as extravagant as what we're doing and what we have been doing for decades? No, I don't think so.
No.
I used to have
It's financially irresponsible for most people. I don't like it.
Yeah, I used to have a joke about, like, would you have the same wedding if you had to invite a kid that was, like, starving to your wedding? And, like, probably you'd be like, oh, $30,000 is not a good thing to spend on a party when the world's like this.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the world is so bad, $30,000 could save, like, 18 families.
Right.
Yeah.
I do love listening to people talking about the specifics of their wedding, though, because it's always so serious. But if you're even one step removed from it, you're like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, my cousin got married, and I would hear her on the phone. She'd call me crying because, like, shit wasn't rustic enough. Like, she'd be like, my mom doesn't want to pay for the tables I want the tables to be barrels because barrels are rustic and I don't understand why we can't afford enough barrels. And it's just like, oh, honey, this problem is big. This is a big problem. Gotta get those barrels.
My really only requirement is I'm gonna walk down the aisle to the song Africa by Toto. That's like
that's a good one.
You're gonna get so amped from that, like, it doesn't even matter who I'm marrying, that I'm just gonna be like, I'm in.
By the time you walk down the aisle to Africa, you'll marry literally anyone.
Is it Bob Costas? Who is it? I don't care. Put him up there.
Turn around.
I don't mind. That's how I feel about weddings.
Sorry, weddings are fun.
I mean, maybe it's because I don't get invited to them. Maybe that's why I hate them. I really... What? Yeah.
Here's another call from my cousin. Jay, I lost the cornhole game, and I was painting the cornhole game because it's a rustic game to play, and now my husband doesn't want to... He's not my husband yet, but he's going to be my husband, and no one's going to be able to play cornhole.
Are they still married?
Yeah. So far, so good.
How long has it been?
4 months.
Oof. All right.
It'll last. Marriages always do.
Guys, I think this one's gonna... I think they're gonna make it.
Oh, good.
Those crazy kids.
We got the cornhole. We got
How
the barrels.
Old is she?
She's 25.
Ooh, no. That's...
Guys, I really hope my cousin doesn't listen to this. I don't think she does.
I can edit it out.
Leave it.
That
I want to know if she listens.
I think people shouldn't get married until they're like 35 at the earliest.
I think people shouldn't get married until they've already been married once before and fucked it up.
Yeah.
Like, you have to, like, do it one time and everyone's like, we know this isn't serious, but we're just going to do, like, that one. And then you get divorced and you, like, try again.
Yeah. I've dated guys who I'm like, you would be a great second husband.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to refer to my husband as my first husband so that people know.
Introduce them. Like, hi, this is Gary.
This is my
first husband. It's like, oh, are you guys, like, no, we just got married.
Yeah, I want to keep him on his toes.
We're very in love.
We're truly in love.
One of my favorite lines from Jurassic Park, which I know this is not the movie we're talking about, but Dr. Ian Malcolm, a.k.a. Jeff Goldblum, says, yeah, I'm always on the lookout for a future ex-Mrs. Malcolm, knowing that he's going to follow someone, get married, and get divorced. And he's just realistic with his expectations.
Yeah, it's like that song, I'm only going to break your heart. I did it wrong.
That's a good one.
There's a lot of songs where rappers are like warning women that they're going to break their hearts. And I love that because it's like, you're honest, you're real.
Right. And then you can just present the receipts in the form of a top 40 single.
Right. Yeah. I told you so.
Yeah. I love rom-coms. I love love.
I love rom-coms because it's like, I'm not supposed to like vapid, dumb things, and I'm leaning in hard.
Yeah, I'm just like, this,
I love The Bachelor. I love Jane the Virgin. Like,
wait, we gotta talk about Jane the Virgin. Jane the Virgin is my favorite show in the world. I've seen it all the way through twice. It's amazing. So good.
It's amazing. Have you seen Catastrophe? So another funny. Good rom-com.
No. Oh, I do like, I've only seen the first season, but I do like that show.
Excellent rom-com show.
Amazon original.
Jane the Virgin is the best show on television. If you like it, you'll like it. Why don't more people talk about it?
I don't know. It's so well-written. It's very self-aware. Good. I love it.
Gina Rodriguez shines every week.
Every week.
Team Michael? Yeah.
Whoa. Controversy.
Whoa.
Are there any other thoughts that people have on the movie, Runaway Bride?
I will say that there are a lot of good speaking roles for women for different kinds of characters that are, like, not the same role or not just putting them in the same, like, shrill woman, best friend. Like, it was a little weird and different.
Yeah.
They are all white. It is a very white movie.
Incredibly white movie.
As many movies are. There is a reporter who is like at the wedding that they attempt, and then she runs away from with Richard Gere. There's a woman of color who's a reporter who's asking questions. But other than that, and everyone's pretty white.
The older woman we see is horny grandma.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so we do see some representation of 50, older women, so that's
horny
nice.
Horny grandma. Mm-hmm. So check. It does pass the Bechdel test for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
There's a scene where it passes pretty early on whenever Joan Cusack and the other lady friend, whose name I forget.
The cousin, unmarried cousin?
No.
Betty
Trout either. There's a one with like a poof hair thing.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. She's an older woman too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She says, I'm going to go focus on your eggs, Bob, while she's working at the diner.
Good eggs joke.
They come in and ask Maggie if she's seen the column that Richard Gere has printed in USA Today. And she's like, yeah, what a funny joke, you guys. And she's like, you told us not to do any bachelorette jokes. Because is that a thing?
Hee-hee.
I guess so. So there's that conversation. Happens again in the hair salon.
Yeah.
Again, curl up and die, which is what I wanted to do when I watched this movie.
Triggered.
They are talking about a chair. For a while, they're talking about a dog. They talk about all kinds of stuff. It's not a man.
They're fun friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As you were saying that, I was thinking about how I don't think Shrek passes the Bechdel test, and now I'm freaking out.
It doesn't.
So now.
Well, because there's Fiona and. There's like. Are there other.
There's no other speaking parts for women other than give him the chair when the woman yells that when he's beating someone up.
Shrek, man. It's
problematic.
It's problematic, but it came out before 9/11. It did. It came out like 2 months before 9/11. Can I tell you my favorite fun fact about a movie ever? And I was also about to say one of my favorite movies does not pass the Bechdel test, Master of Disguise. Fun fact about the Master of Disguise, you know that scene, that famous scene from the Master of Disguise, the turtle scene?
I have not seen that movie.
Everyone's seen this scene. Have you seen the turtle?
No,
turtle?
I haven't.
Are you kidding me? Aristotle? Aristotle's seen it.
Oh, shout out to Aristotle.
It's Dana Carvey's only movie that he's the star of. It's the last movie he's the star of. It's not a great movie, but I wrote a bunch of essays about it a couple of years ago, and I listened to the commentary track, and this iconic, very bad scene in this very bad movie was filmed on September 11, 2001.
Wow. They kept going after that.
They said that in the commentary track. They were just like, because it was Dana Carvey and the director, and they were just like, oh, like when the turtle scene started, they're like, oh, I was like, why? This is a great scene. And they're like, oh, yeah. This was on September 11, 2001, and we had to stop filming for a couple minutes and just sort of have a moment of silence. But, we had to finish the scene.
Sure.
I was like, man, show must go on.
The show truly went on.
The show truly did go on.
Oh, I just wanted to say a few of my other favorite lines of dialogue from the movie. One of them is when Richard Gere shows up to the baseball game. that people are playing. And Maggie goes, there he is again, Snoop Doggy Dog.
Yeah.
That is a good quote.
Fun 99 quote.
I don't know what it means. I'm still thinking about
it. I think he's like snooping around. Snooping on
her, but that's like not a response to snooping.
That stuck with me too. Another, the Titanic makes a Snoop Dogg reference too. They name one of their deep sea cameras after Snoop.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, what? How does Jack and Rose know about Snoop Dogg?
We came from the past to warn you.
There's a passenger from the future on this boat.
What does Snoop Dogg wear on the Titanic?
He's so talented.
I would actually watch the Titanic if Snoop Dogg had been on it. Honestly, I will not watch that film.
Snoop Dogg has been a prevalent cultural force for decades. That's all I'm saying.
My other favorite line is when Maggie goes, you wouldn't know real love if it jumped up and bit you in the armpit.
Armpit.
I love
armpit.
That they were like, instead of ass, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do?
Yeah.
Can't say dick. How about armpit?
We can't say dick. How about one-eyed snake? There's, I liked that. That seemed like one of those things of like, let's just change the dialogue so TBS doesn't need to change it later.
Right.
Yeah, they clearly. God, love TBS.
I love TBS movie edits. They're so good.
Should we? Are we ready to?
Buck and I came here to party.
Are we ready to rate?
Let's do it.
All right.
So we rate on a 5-nipple scale of how you feel the movie treats its women characters, and we usually describe the nipples.
Do you want to go first?
Sure. I would give it. I'm gonna say I'm gonna give it 2.5 nipples. I'm gonna give it both of Joan Cusack's nipples and a half a horny grandma nipple.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'd say I want to give it like 2 nipples. It does bother me that like such a huge emphasis is placed on marriage and pair bonding, and that's like what you're supposed to be doing if you're a young woman and you gotta find a man to be with. Some things happen that I don't mind, that I think are okay. Largely, I just think this is such a sloppily, poorly written movie that I don't like any of the characters. So, with that said, 2 nipples, they belong to the drunk dad.
Oh, sad, leaky alcoholic nipples.
Yeah.
Do alcoholics have nipples that leak?
Like, that leak booze out of them? And they can suckle on them if they run, if they're...
Yep.
I don't mean to be making light of alcoholism. I know it's a serious problem and disease. How about you?
I would go with 3. The only thing that I really have an issue with is that, like you said, everyone is white. So that might be a 2.5.
Yeah.
But I was going to go 3 nipples. There's a lot of speaking roles for women. There's a lot of friendship for women. There's more than most movies, they let women actually talk, even if they are annoying women. Mm-hmm. Which women are annoying. That's real. Not all. I'm just saying there's some women who are annoying.
Women are annoying. Women are sluts all across the board.
Look, I think I'm an annoying slut. If someone called me that, I'd be like, this is the
You'd be
best
like, accurate.
Day. I'd be like, yes, you know me. You get me when we're
And now you
married.
Get to marry me.
Yeah. No, but I think there were some accurate portrayals of parts of womanhood in that movie. So I'm going to give it 3, and all 3 nipples are coming from Porthole the dog.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's got a plenty to go
Fertile
around.
Fertile as hell.
Yeah. He's got up to 6. So. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Wait, well, Runaway Bride, Kaylin hated it. Sophia and I liked it. Ultimately, a weird movie that people probably don't watch that much.
Yeah, but you could. You should if you want to, you know... Waste two hours.
Okay, relax.
2 hours.
Okay, relax.
Anyway, Sophia, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
Where can people find you online? Do you have anything you want to plug?
They can find me online on Twitter at @1 and then @followernodad, 1followernodad. And then I run a monthly show, a comedy show at The Resident, which Jamie was on recently. And our next show is April 3rd.
Super.
Woo. Cool. Thank you for coming.
All right. Yay. Thank you.
You can follow us on Twitter at @BechdelCast and rate and review us. We'd love
Send
those
us
reviews.
Send us reviews.
And
give me your worst.
Yay. All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.